The conference is now being recorded.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your patience. The conference is expected to start in some time. Please continue to hold. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Heritage Foods Limited Q4 FY23 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Anuj Sonpal from Valorem Advisor. Thank you and over to you.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone, and a very warm welcome to you all. My name is Anuj Sonpal from Valorem Advisors. We represent the investor relations of Heritage Foods Limited. On behalf of the company, I'd like to thank you all for participating in the company's earnings call for the fourth quarter and financial year ended 2023. Before we begin, let me mention a cautionary statement. Some of the statements made in today's earnings call may be forward-looking in nature. Such forward-looking statements are subject to risks and uncertainties which could cause actual results to differ from those anticipated. Such statements are based on management's beliefs as well as assumptions made by and information currently available to management. Audiences are cautioned not to place any undue reliance on these forward-looking statements in making any investment decisions. The purpose of today's earnings call is purely to educate and bring awareness about the company's fundamental business and financial quarter under review. Now, let me introduce you to the management participating with us in today's earnings call and hand it over to them for opening remarks. We firstly have with us Dr. M. Sambasiva Rao, President, Mr. Shridip Kesavan, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. A. Prabhakar Naidu, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. J. Sambamurthy, Chief Operating Officer, Mr. Upendra Pandey, CEO of Heritage Nutrivet Limited, and Mr. Umakant Barik, Company Secretary and Compliance Officer. Without any further delay, I request Mr. Rao to start with his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Anuj, and good evening to everyone joining us today on this call. We are pleased to welcome you all to this earnings call for the fourth quarter and the financial year ending 2023. The financial results and earnings presentations have already been uploaded on the exchanges, and I hope you must have got a chance to look at them. Let me now take you through the financial performance for the quarter under review. Consolidated revenue for the fourth quarter grew by 0.5% to 818 crores despite the market conditions. EBITDA stood at 42 crore rupees as compared to 33 crores during the previous year same quarter. The EBITDA margin is at 5.11%. Margin profile improved year-on-year basis as well as quarter-on-quarter basis with several decisions related to price corrections, value optimization measures, increase in sales of value-added product volumes, etc. During the current quarter, net profits stood at 18 crore rupees, representing a growth of 44% year-on-year. Coming to the financial year ending 2023, consolidated revenue grew by 21% year-on-year at 3,241 crores. EBITDA was at 138 crores and EBITDA margin stood at 4.26%. Net profit for the period was 58 crore rupees. Now moving on to the operational performance for the quarter. The average milk procurement during the quarter and review was 1.43 million liters per day as compared to 1.22 million liters during the quarter four of previous year. With regards to the sales of our products, we have had a healthy year on year-on-year growth across product categories. Average milk sales during the quarter four stood at 1.07 million liters per day compared to 1.04 million liters per day in the same period of the previous year. The sale of curd during the quarter four was at 333 metric tons per day compared to 303 tons per day in the previous year's same quarter. The value-added products revenue surged during the quarter by approximately 24% year-on-year to 231 crore rupees, and its contribution to the overall revenue also increased to 28.62%, while for the financial year ended, the contribution of value-added products was around 29.06%. We continued on our path to add innovative and unique value-added products. During the quarter, the company launched new products like Milk Shakti, a whey-based instant energy drink, a premium curd variant called Creamilicious Curd, and two new flavors of milkshakes, and one spiced buttermilk in cartons called A1 Spiced Buttermilk, and two new desi flavors of ice lollies called Golgappa and Kalakata. With this now, we've opened the floor for interaction. Invite the members to seek any clarifications, ask questions, make any suggestions. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Sameer Gupta from India Infoline. Please go ahead.
Hi everyone. Good afternoon and thanks for taking my question. First question is a bookkeeping one. So liquid milk selling price and milk procurement price for the quarter, something that you've been sharing on a consistent basis every quarter. That's my first question.
Yeah. Good afternoon. This is Sabu Murthy. So the average prices increased by 10.65%, which is about 5.69 rupees per liter of GAC. And this is the sale price. And whereas the procurement price has gone by 11.8%, which is 4.76 rupees per liter.
That's very helpful, sir. Secondly, sense on the season ahead. So last year, we had an impact by lumpy skin disease, there was unseasonal rainfall, there was inflation in cereal and cattle feed prices. What is your assessment for this year's flush? I mean, I understand this is still early days, but any early indications? Now, farmers have got better remuneration in the past year, some prices are down. We are hearing about lumpy skin disease cases, but not at a large extent. So what is your sense of, you know, the milk prices in the flush season going ahead? Any early indication?
Yeah, now just we have observed that cow milk menu flush, particularly in the states of Maharashtra and Tamil Nadu, and flush will continue up to June, July, and again flush is expected in the month of from November onwards for both cow and calf now, and thereby the prices are particularly in these two states now. There is a drop in prices, but other states actually it is stable.
Got it, sir. And any indication of the larger flush expected in October, November, based on this, extrapolating from this data or this trend?
Yeah, it is actually a normal flush only, and a flush season that November onwards it is going to be normal only. It is not like no huge milk availability and all, but it is going to be flush.
As of now, we don't see any reason for not having a regular flush from November. Everything is back. The lumpy skin disease disappeared, and post-COVID repercussions of, you know, artificial insemination, etc., have been streamlined. Now insemination programs are going on very well, and monsoon. If monsoon is good and every other factor is normal, flush season should set in definitely in November with normal production. The current year being a scarcity year, next year, as per the normal cycles, also should be a better year. But as of now, there is no scientific evidence to say which way it goes.
Got it, sir. That's really helpful. Third and the last question, if I can squeeze in. I see an unusually high level of inventory for FY23 for the company. Any reason for this sharp increase, and going forward, how should we look at this number?
Yeah, see, the inventory that you are seeing in the books is actually, this is Shridi Keshav, CEO.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, the question is regarding the inventory that you are seeing in the books is reflected on account of both skim milk powder as well as butter that we are holding. And it is very normal in our business. We usually enter into contracts and buy the inventory that we require for the first half of the year, which is the period starting from, let's say, March, moving on to about September. And there are two factors which have compounded the value for us in this year. One, our volumes are consistently going up. So at any point in time now this year, on a period-to-period basis compared to previous years, our volumes are up in double digits, which means that a proportionate increase in quantity of powder and butter is also required. Secondly, you've heard from the CEO earlier that the milk prices have gone up by about 11.5% in the same period. So compounding of, let's say, a 10-11% in volume terms and 11% in prices is what is reflecting in terms of the absolute value of the inventory being held. And this inventory was bought at a period of advantage that we had during quarter three of the previous financial year. So there is nothing abnormal in it. I hope I've been able to clarify.
Yes, sir, that's it. That clarifies. Thanks, sir. I'll come back in.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Sandy Mehta from Value Investment Principles. Please go ahead.
Yes, congratulations on the strong result. It's nice to see the company again growing earnings on a quarter-over-quarter and year-over-year basis. Are you seeing the margins continue to recover in this current quarter that we're in right now? And when is your expectation that we can once again get back to over 10% EBITDA margin? How soon can that happen? Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for the question. First, let me clarify. You mentioned that, you know, our normal EBITDA margin is 10%. I think we have been always, you know, committing that our ambition is to stay in the range of 7 to 8% of EBITDA. So it's not 10%. 10% would be like a windfall year, I would say. So being in 7 to 8% is what we are aiming to be. And we are still a little bit away from that particular point from the profitability point of view. But yes, thank you for your kind words. We are improving profitability every quarter sequentially. The worst period for us is behind us, as we see. And this has happened because of a multitude factors playing at the same time, as President spoke in the opening remarks. Number one, I think we have taken price corrections across markets, even though we have not passed on the entire increase in raw milk prices onto consumer. But still, we have substantially increased our prices across milk as well as value-added products. Secondly, we have taken a series of value creation initiatives during this period. You know, for the last 6 to 9 months, we've been working on various efficiency measures, all of which is playing out to full potential now, and we'll continue to get benefits of that in the continuing quarters as well. Third, as you have noticed that we are consistently growing our value-added products portfolio. Value-added products contribution consistently for the last several quarters. Now we are touching close to about 30% contribution, which means that our margin profile naturally improves. A combination of all these factors will continue to play. And as we mentioned earlier, if raw milk prices come down, as we all expect it to in the next many months, then that will give us added advantage in pushing us towards the 7 to 8% mark.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Viraj Mehta from Equities PMS. Please go ahead.
My questions have been answered. Thank you.
Viraj?
Viraj. So yeah, my questions have been answered. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Next question comes from the line of Resha Mehta from Green Edge Wealth Services. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi, thank you. So first is, you know, now that we have, you know, we are on an all-time high base in terms of revenues of 3,200 crores roughly. So for the next financial year, what kind of growth are we looking at on this base? And if you could call that out in terms of the procurement target as well as the top line target.
Sorry, could you please repeat the question?
Expecting the level of growth in procurement.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. So see, the current quarter, that quarter four of last financial year, we had a revenue growth of about 17.5%, and the procurement volumes also grew in similar terms, about 17.7% to be precise. So first of all, I think you know, we are.
Sorry, my question was for the full year and not for Q4. Yeah.
Your question is about full year
FY24. FY24 versus FY23 in terms of procurement growth as well as the top line growth that you all are targeting.
It is our intention to sustain the growth momentum in our sales as we have done in the past several quarters. And to sustain that momentum, we will have to continue to grow our volumes, and to meet the volume requirements, we'll have to continue to grow our procurement. I will not be able to reveal any number specifically at this point in time, but you could be rest assured that we are working on strategies that will help us maintain our growth momentum and as much as possible keep our growth momentum clearly ahead of the market. And our procurement at this point in time is quite promising. We have no reasons to be worried at all. In fact, our procurement is very much sufficient to meet the milk requirement to fuel this growth.
Right. So would it be fair to assume a double-digit growth on the top line and procurement both for FY24?
Can we expect to double this growth?
Yes, see, let me put it like this, okay? Industry is expected to grow in double digits, right? And this is, see, we are actually sitting in, I'm sorry, actually, when you spoke, your voice was not very clear. That's why I had to repeatedly ask the question. I'm sorry about that. See, the industry is growing in double digits. Right, and we should expect continued momentum for the next several quarters. We have no reasons to worry that will be affected. Because even today, about 60% of our revenues come from milk, which is an essential commodity, right? And it's not a discretionary spend of the consumer. So, and even in the value-added products, many of the categories that we play in, are mostly all essential from a consumer basket point of view. So we have no reasons to worry that the industry momentum will slow down. We are expecting the industry to continue to grow at 11-12%. And at Heritage, we are on an accelerated journey, gaining market share in all the markets that we operate, which means that we have to keep our growth momentum ahead of that. So we are seeing that playing out for us at this point in time. But FY24 has just started. I wouldn't want to give any guidances for the next 10 months ahead or 11 months ahead. At this point in time, I can say that we are confident that we can continue this momentum of growth.
Very clear. Is my voice clear now?
It is. Now it is very clear. Thank you very much.
Okay, great. Yeah. The second question is on the Q4 numbers. So if we see, unlike the rest of the industry, we have maintained our gross margins Q on Q, right? So if you look at Q3 versus Q4, we have maintained our gross margins. So is it due to, you know, some price hikes that we have taken in Q4? And if yes, if could you just call that out?
Like I mentioned, it's a combination of factors. We at this point in time, we wouldn't be breaking it up. Yeah, the question is that we have maintained is the question. Yeah, absolutely. It's about 19.55%, and it's the same, actually, Q3 to Q4. See, it's a multiple factors playing out. Number one, you must have seen that the milk prices, raw milk prices, went up in Q4 compared to Q3, right? So as in milk prices, raw milk prices, farm prices continued to rise in Q4 even compared to Q3. Almost hitting a peak sometime in the beginning of April. First things is that we were able to pass on most of the increases in raw milk prices that happened during Q4 on to our consumer as market price increases. That's the first thing. Second thing, we had set in motion several initiatives of value creation and cost efficiency. Sometime in the beginning of Q2, in the quarter, in the third quarter, we had part of the benefits flowing into the P&L, and by quarter four, most of those initiatives were playing out fully, and we were able to reap in the benefits fully. Not only that, we were able to reinvest back in the market to get an early head start for Q1 of this financial year itself as well, in terms of marketing and new marketing initiatives as well as new product launches. So, net-net, I think we anticipated that the raw milk prices would continue to go up, and we planned accordingly. We took a slew of measures which played to our advantage.
And is there still scope to, you know, benefit from these cost efficiencies, you know, in FY24?
Yes, absolutely. Because, you know, most of the efficiencies we have done are structural in nature. They are in terms of energy efficiencies, fuel efficiencies. We have been talking about a clustered approach in terms of procurement, which reduces our cost of milk delivered, etc. All those efficiencies will continue to play in the future as well.
Right. And in Q1, would you say that the milk procurement prices are trending lower versus Q4? I don't want an exact number, but just the trend, if you could call out.
I couldn't follow.
Could you please repeat, please, again?
Yeah. So would you say, like you did speak about, you know, the flush for the cowbell being decent in the month of June, at least that's what the expectation is, right? So with that, would you say that the Q1 for the current quarter, Q1, the milk procurement prices have softened versus what they were in Q4?
Yes, we could say that. So let me put it like this. Throughout the last 15 months, prices continued to rise, hitting a peak sometime around the first half of April. And since then, it has come off the peak a little bit. I wouldn't be able to comment whether Q1 average will be lower than Q4 of last year, because we still haven't seen all of Q1. But I could say that we are off the peak now. And we are seeing that, like COO mentioned earlier, that we are seeing mini flush season due to cow happening in Maharashtra as well as Indian, which are both key procurement regions for us. And that has resulted in prices coming off the peak in these two markets. But we still have 5 to 6 weeks of the quarter to go. We'll have to see whether the weighted average prices of Q1 will be lower than Q4. But the indication is good.
Understood. And lastly, on the unseasonal rain impacting the sale of value-added products. So would you say that, you know, Q4, I can see that, you know, your value-added products overall grew by 23% YOY, right? And ice creams also grew 50% on a low base YOY. But would you still say that Q4 was below your expectations in terms of value-added product sales because of the unseasonal rain? And do you also see that trend continuing, the softness in value-added product sales in Q1 versus your expectations?
Okay, that's a very million-dollar question, a difficult question. See, weather is actually a very big uncertainty in our business, and not just in our business, it is in the business of lot many companies and sectors today, because of climate changes and unpredictability of the weather, unseasonal rains, etc. Like I said, we are still in the middle of the quarter. It is very difficult for us to predict. Usually, for example, rains in South India start by beginning of June. But in the month of May itself, we had excessive rains. And now the forecast is that June is going to be excessively dry and hot. So it's very difficult to predict how the weather will go. But yes, adverse weather definitely has an impact in terms of consumption volumes. We are also seeing a little bit of impact of consumption volume because of sequential price increases we have taken in some of the value-added product categories. At our end, what we have under control is demand creation at consumer end, and number two, distribution and distribution expansion. So we are focused on what we can do at our end to continue the growth momentum and hoping for the best as far as weather is concerned.
Thank you. Ms. Mehta, we request that you return to the question queue for follow-up questions. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question comes from the line of Hitesh Sharma from White Sky. Please go ahead.
Congratulations for the nice results. I would like to understand, like, your EBITDA margin is continuously going down from 7.6 to 4.71. Going peak again 10 and now again back to the 4.27. Whereas your value-added products are going up. So this is contradicting the numbers.
Thank you very much, sir. So let me put it like this. First of all, I think, you know, the quarter four EBITDA margins are better than full-year EBITDA margin. And if you see quarter three also, it was better than the full year, which means actually we went into a trough sometime around Q1, and we have been coming up ever since, number one, the first thing. The second thing is that, sir, if we had not done the value-added products, you know, contribution increase the way we did, you know, you can imagine the profitability scenario would have been even worse than what we had in quarter four. So it's even today, if I can say, on a full-year basis, when our raw milk prices have moved up by about 11.3%, we have passed on only about 9.7% to the consumers because we still have absorbed 1.6% at our end because you know, passing on the entire burden to the consumer would have further slow down our growth. So it's a combination of multiple factors. Like, one is we have absorbed part of the raw milk price increases in our P&L. And secondly, the value-added products have grown, compensating that negative impact. And the net impact is what you're seeing in the P&L at this point in time. But this will improve sequentially as you go forward, because definitely the gap between raw milk prices and market realization will continue to come down. As I, you know, as we were answering some of the previous questions, we are hoping that the farm prices will come down from its peak in the next many months to come, and we will be able to reap the benefits.
Can we hope to achieve 7% in coming year?
See, our ambition is to aim towards a steady state 7 to 8%. If you can say that in the month of, let's say, quarter four of our financial year was around 5.2%, which means that quarter one could be sequentially better than that, hopefully. But, you know, I wouldn't want to guide you to say that we'll end up with 7% weighted average for the financial year. But what you could expect is that all the efficiencies that we have built in will continue to play throughout the next many quarters to come. The pricing that we have taken as far as the consumers are concerned is never going to come off, because we don't usually, as a new company, reduces the prices. Third, raw milk prices, raw milk availability should improve, and raw milk prices also should come off the peak. That's all I can say.
Can you... Second is the question about the capital work in progress. What is the project going on for this?
You are asking about the specific projects we have in the CWIP?
Your capital work in progress is 199 lakh.
Yeah, okay. So see, we are investing. We are not, we have sufficient processing capacity at our end, as we have mentioned in the previous quarterly calls as well. The capital investment that we are doing are for specialized value-added products or in the milk procurement side. So at this point in time, what is reflecting in the balance sheet is on account of capacity enhancement we are doing in terms of paneer projects as well as milkshakes and other UHT products that we are setting up, the capacity that we are setting up for those products in our locations. So all of those that is reflecting is all for our value-added products.
So this project will be commissioned by when?
Expected in the next quarter or two.
Thank you very much. Thanks a lot and wishing best.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants, please restrict yourself to two questions. Next question comes from the line of Rajat Sethia from iThought PMS. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. Sir, in terms of our direct retail outlets, how many do we have?
Retail outlets. Could you repeat full question?
How many direct retail outlets do we have, sir? Or everything is franchise and nothing is company operated? Or something
else? Our reach at this point in time should be close to about 120 to 130,000 retail outlets, which are serviced through our distributors.
Okay. We don't own anything directly, right? And don't operate or...
Sorry, could you please repeat that? Your voice is a bit muffled.
Just a second. So we don't operate directly under our own control, any of the retail outlets, like our peers.
No, except for national key accounts. National key accounts, some of them are directly delivered by us. But all other retail outlets are serviced through our distributors. We do not do any direct service to general retail.
Okay, and what do you mean by national key accounts, sir?
You could say e-commerce and modern trade accounts of national states.
Understood. And we don't have any strategy, any plans to get into direct outlets like our peers?
No, we have, you must be aware that we have what we call as heritage parlors.
Okay.
We have just about 850 of them. They are, they sell exclusive heritage products as far as milk and milk products are concerned. And we also have what we call as heritage happiness centers or distribution centers as we call them. We have close to about 150 of them. They have a retail store plus they do distribution in the neighborhood as well. So these 850 plus 150 close to about 1,000 of these outlets, stores directly serviced by us as well.
Alright.
But they're actually retail stores from distribution centers. You should consider them as a store plus.
Understood. And how much sales come from these outlets, sir? 850 heritage parlors?
Roughly around 22% of our business would be from these.
Okay, understood. And so I think we had the target to reach out to 2,000 collection centers by FY24 for increasing our milk procurement. Where do we stand today?
We couldn't hear what you said. Sorry.
How many collection centers do we have under our network at the moment?
Milk
collection centers.
In milk procurement, there are two levels. Your first level is at village level where milk collection centers are set up to collect milk from farmers. Second level, milk chilling units where this milk from the villages is carried for quick chilling and then transport to the processing plants. So you are referring to the first level, village level milk collection centers or second level chilling centers?
First level.
Milk first level is around 12,500 approximately.
12,000. Okay. And so to reach our target of 20 to 24, million. Sorry, I'm forgetting the unit. So, to basically we broadly increase our want to increase our procurement by 70% from the current level. So how many collection centers, the first level collection centers, do you think you will have to increase?
See, our procurement network expansion is in line with the milk requirement. Okay, and this is a very dynamic process because we always try to procure milk closer to the consuming market or sales market. We are today present across many states, and we have a good enough, strong enough structure to dynamically grow this procurement network in a very short span of time. So at this point in time, I should say that we are strongly positioned as far as growing our milk procurement to meet our demands in the next 3 to 4 years' time. So an average milk collection center collects about 120 to 150 liters per day. That's the size of a milk village level center. And we keep on adding village level centers wherever we require.
Okay, all right. And in terms of our top three states for milk procurement, I'm guessing Andhra Pradesh and Telangana would be the top two. And which one is the third one?
They keep changing season to season, year to year. There is no such fixed number. But currently, we have Maharashtra also joining the project.
Maharashtra. And the percentage would be Andhra Pradesh and Telangana would be 30% each. Would it be in that range?
How much? Andhra Pradesh, Telangana?
30% each.
So AP would be around 40%. AP is actually bigger. After that would be Maharashtra, and then would be Tamil Nadu, yes.
Okay, all right. And some value-added products, how much sales would be coming in from cheese?
Cheese?
Yes.
Yeah, cheese is a very small contributor for us. Even though it is growing in triple digits, but it's still very small for us to call out.
Okay. All right. So thank you so much. I'll get back in with you. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Dhwanil Desai from Turtle Capital. Also, please make sure that you restrict yourself to two questions. Thank you. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, good afternoon, sir. So my first question is, I think we have kind of planned out a vision to, increase our top line. And in order to do that, we need to increase our procurement by 12%-15% on a CAGR basis. So can you give us some sense as to are we? So we are present in 11 states, but in terms of procurement, do you think that the incremental bulk of the volume will come from three or four states by going deeper and deeper because that is our strategy? So can you talk a bit about that? How is it going to pan out?
Asking procurement, right? Yeah. So see, we are growing procurement in very high teens. Okay, and that is not going to immediately come down, right? Which means that procurement is on a momentum, and it is feeding our requirement at this point in time. Yes, you're right. Because of the size of the procurement network, AP, Maharashtra, and TN will continue to add the biggest delta or increase as far as the procurement volumes are concerned. But that doesn't mean that we are not expanding our footprint in terms of procurement. For example, we have entered Odisha procurement. We are expanding procurement in Western UP because our volumes are growing rapidly in North India as well. So, but in terms of absolute size, those new procurement regions will continue to be small, even though the growth percentage in those regions would be much higher.
Okay. So my second question is, so in the last cycle or last normal environment, we were making around 7% EBITDA margin. Now, you know, as we stand today, we have brought in a lot of operational efficiency in terms of, you know, kind of conversion at procurement and then converting milk into, you know, the final.
Could you please, you will have to repeat your voice is muffled a bit.
Yeah, okay. Is it better?
Okay.
Hello.
Yes.
Hello, you are able to hear me, sir?
Yes. It is better. We request you to speak a little slowly so that we can understand.
Okay. So, sir, my question is that in the last normal environment, we were making 7% EBITDA margin. Now, post that, as it stands today, we have a much higher value added share and we are also bringing in a lot of operational efficiency. So when again we go into an environment where the milk prices are kind of, you know, normal, don't we think that we'll make more than 7% EBITDA margin given what we have done in those last 2-3 years?
Yeah, we wish to make, but we don't want to give that leading statements today as it is not the most prudent way of talking.
Yeah. So, you know, let me put it like this, okay? So, see, we are here for the very long term. You know, as continued investors, I think you have to believe in our story. We are looking at our first milestone that we are looking to hit is the 6,000 crore revenue mark. But we are already started thinking about 10,000 crore revenue mark. We want to look forward and we want to continue growing this business, right? Which means that to require certain investments, not only in terms of tangible assets, but also intangibles, which means that we will have to reinvest part of the margins into growing, building our brand. So you will see that, you know, actually we have started investing monies into marketing campaigns, which are on air at this time. This also will be required as we go forward to continue to fuel the momentum of growth that we desire. We are launching products, new products almost every quarter. We have at least 3 or 4 significant launches, which means that those new launches also require support to establish. So I think we are also hoping that, you know, the margin profile as the cost structure stands today exceed 8% or 9%. But we will have to reinvest part of that to continue the growth momentum. Otherwise, like, you know, we are living in the short term.
Great. I think that explains it very well. Thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Sarvesh Gupta from Maximal Capital. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Most of my questions have been answered. Just one thing on your OPEX side. So if I just do the maths, I think that, you know, for the entire year, we have sort of gained 20 basis points in terms of our OPEX as a percentage of our revenues. And the same stands at around 100 basis points if I just do fourth quarter comparison. So I believe we've been working on a various sort of initiatives on the OPEX side. So what can be, I mean, 20 basis point is a small increment that we have been able to juice out from our operational efficiencies. But what's the target for this year in terms of compared to this financial year, how much more we can juice out as a percentage of sales from all the initiatives that we have been doing since the past few quarters?
Yeah, so, you know, I wouldn't want to put a percentage on that and give, you know, guidance. But let me say there are three areas in which we are working. Number one is in terms of energy efficiency, which is how many units of energy is required to produce 1 liter of milk, right? And that's the metric which we are continuously driving down with several initiatives. One is in terms of bringing in more and more energy efficient equipments. Number two is better planning and better coordination. A lot of other initiatives in terms of even including even product reformulation that helps us reduce energy usage. Right, so that's energy is one area that we are keenly focused on, which we continue to give us results, and as we continue to grow holdings, that will remain as a growing incentive for us into the future. The second is in terms of fuel, which is basically for us it starts from bringing milk from the villages to our chilling centers. From chilling centers to the plant and the plant to the market. This is also an area where we are looking at building a lot of efficiencies. You could say that we have just got started in terms of what we ourselves have visibility of at this point in time. We have hardly done about 20% of that. So which means that 80% of the efficiency is there as we see today is still yet to play out. And I'm sure that once we achieve what we have in plan at this point in time, there will be new operational opportunities available in terms of fuel as well at that point in time. The third is in terms of people productivity. So that is a journey which we have yet to start. Which will have continued benefits going into next financial year. So it's, we have not seen much in terms of people productivity in last financial year, but we'll be able to get that as well in the first financial year. So it's a continuing evolving journey is the way I'll put it, rather than putting a number on.
Understood. So fuel efficiency will also majorly show up in this year, and people will also start coming in from this financial year.
Yeah, that's what we are working on.
Yeah. And second question, sir, on your product as such, you must have done some consumer studies, blind taste test, etc., especially now that you are launching many new innovative product as well. Are there some pointers that you can throw at us in terms of what are some of the key understandings that we have gained from such studies, especially vis-a-vis both national competitors also, which are becoming prominent in the VAP segment, irrespective of the regions, and on the milk side with respect to your local competitors as well.
Thank you. Yes, so as part of our marketing initiatives, we continuously scan the market for competition and also benchmark our products versus competition. Let's say primarily for products like Curd, many of our drinkables that we launched in the market, they've all gone through extensive consumer study before we put out in the market. And you would also probably know that our products are slightly priced at a premium to many of the mainstream competition that is there in the market. So it's imperative that we actually beat the mainstream competition in terms of taste and acceptance. So our benchmarks are slightly higher. That's how we test ourselves, and we are able to meet them. And we constantly, wherever we feel that there is an area of improvement, so our R&D team works on Kaizen projects, which helps us continuously improve even existing products like our Curd. So there's all the time work going on at our end to improve the consumer experience and be worthy of the premium that we charge from consumers.
Understood, sir. Thank you and all the rest.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Resha Mehta from Green Edge Wealth Services. Please go ahead.
Yeah, something on the what the previous participant asked about the inventory days, right? So, see, I understand that, you know, we are growing our volumes, etc., and, you know, hence inventory, you know, in absolute terms kind of goes up. But if we look at our inventory days, historically, they have always been in that 20 to 30 day kind of a range. While, you know, this is like for the first time in almost the last 7 to 8 years that, you know, it has jumped to around 42 days. So what I want to understand is that, you know, with the kind of aggressive growth plans that we have, do we expect this inventory day number to, you know, remain at a new normal of, let's say, around this 40 plus kind of days, or would we go back to our old inventory days of around 20, 30?
Thank you, Vishnu. The inventory is melting already. We started consuming from March, but this is March 31st numbers. So this is for captive consumption in the products only. So it will be consumed within the second quarter. So we may even have to procure further in the end of the second quarter. That's not a concern at all. As we consume, number of inventory days come down month on month. It is, as Sridhi explained, one, the volume we have procured more and stored, and price of the commodity also is higher than earlier years. So it looks higher in terms of value. So it is, for us internally, we feel very normal. It gets consumed over a period of next 4 months or 5 months.
Okay, got it. And if any comments on the JV, the Novandi JV, FY23, what were the revenues and EBITDA losses there?
Yeah, JV's sales are improving. Our penetration has increased to more markets, and within the markets, more chains of modern retail and e-commerce. Now the volumes are increasing, and we should be able to present better numbers in the current year as we go forward. So all operations got stabilized. Placements have happened, so we should see some offtakes increasing from this quarter.
Right, and FY23 revenues and losses, if you could quantify that for the JV.
Sorry?
FY23, the last year, full year revenues and losses for the JV?
Yeah, it's around 8 crores is the revenue and around 13 crores is the EBITDA loss.
EBITDA loss. Okay, all right. And lastly, I just had a few data questions. One is, if you could, sorry, I missed this at the beginning of the call. What would be the milk procurement price for Q4?
Q4 milk procurement price.
Yeah,
this
is
45 rupees 17 paisa per liter. Average cow.
Yeah.
45 rupees, 70 paise. Okay. And the realization?
NR is 59.09 paise.
Okay. And the liquid milk sales volume for Q4? How many lakh liters per day?
Q4, 10.7 lakh liters a day.
Okay. Alright, thank you so much and all the best.
Risha, these are like questions from NEET exam. Quick
sorry?
Questions, answers. Questions answer look like NEET exams, civil service exam questions.
Yes, I look forward to the continued growth momentum. So,
thank you very much. Yeah.
All the best. Yeah.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Rajat Sethia from iThought PMS. Please go ahead.
Thanks. So, what's our strategy for the ice cream business?
Strategy? Is that strategy?
Yes.
Yeah. Ice cream is actually a business that's growing very strong for us. Like last financial year, we've seen 80% growth in the ice cream business. And the momentum continues. But at this point in time, we are primarily focused in our core markets, which is AP Telangana. We have very limited footprint in Bangalore and Chennai. So at this point in time, we are focused on growing our footprint in the existing markets rather than going to newer markets. One. Secondly, we are expanding across channels. So earlier, our footprint was limited to either push carts or general trade outlets. Now, you will see our products more and more in modern trade as well as e-commerce channels as well. Thirdly, you must have seen a series of new product launches that we have made. So we continue to innovate. We are focused on bringing in certain percentage of our revenues from new product launches. So I could just summarize. Number one, deepening our presence in existing markets with addition of new outlets. Secondly, going into new channels such as modern trade and e-commerce. Thirdly, continuous innovation and launching of new products. That's what we are doing at this point in time. It is still a small contributor as far as revenue is concerned, but a very fast-growing one.
Sure. And how much sales did you say that you target from new products?
How much? Sorry.
How much sales do you target from new products? You mentioned a number, I think, while answering the last question.
No, I did not mention a number. We have internally, we have a benchmark as far as what new product should contribute in terms of our growth. So we are looking at 10% of all our growth coming from new products that we launch in a year. And a large percentage of these new products would be all coming from ice creams and drinkables and other segments, so value-added products, which are smaller at this point in time.
So, and sir, how much CAPEX have we done in this ice cream segment so far? And how much sales can we do from the existing setup?
So CAPEX on ice cream. So the purpose we have, so we have not invested in any new plant at this point in time. And I think that we give you the CAPEX value. At this point in time, the continued investment we are making is in terms of yeast assets as far as our market retail freezers are concerned. And the current capacity that we have will be sufficient for us to take us for one more summer, is our estimate. Just give us a minute in time for us to get back on CAPEX.
Sure. And in terms of capacity, what did you say, sir?
Around 50 crores is the CAPEX we have in our ice cream business. But, you know, that's the existing plan. We haven't made any new investment.
Sure. And how much sales did you say you can reach from the current setup?
We will cross 100 crores.
100 crores. And at 100 crores, what kind of margins this business will be throwing?
Yeah, see, the gross margins in ice cream business is close to 33 to 35%. But again, it is a function of raw milk prices and other factors.
Sure. And right now, sales channel is primarily outlets, or do we sell through carts, just like Quality Walls or other brands?
No, we have most of our sales actually is concentrated in retail outlets. Many of the retail outlets are in general trade. Some of the retail outlets are in specialty channels like colleges, institutions, and all of that. But we do not have any institutional large accounts as far as I think.
And we don't want to get into carts sales channel wherein, you know, every major brand is selling through that.
You're talking about push carts, right, as in cycle carts?
Yeah.
We have many of them. It's actually a large contributor to all.
Okay, we already have that. And one more small question on ice cream. So do we make milk-based ice cream only, or it's milk as well as vegetable oil?
We have both.
Both?
Yes.
Okay, all right. And in terms of competitive intensity in our two major states, is it the same over the last few quarters, or has anything changed?
See, ice cream is actually a very large you know.
Sorry to interrupt. General, not ice cream. I would say milk-based and milk and value-added products. Overall business. And this question is about the overall business.
General, all products, milk. Dairy competition.
So I think the competition is actually a good thing. As competition grows, product quality improves, and generally consumption also increases. Right? Dairy as such still has a long way to go as far as converting from unpackaged, informal sector to formal packaged business. Right. So even in products like curd, there is still certain percentage of curd which is homemade, which can eventually become a packaged branded curd, right? So the more the competition, better for the industry is the way we look at it. Yes, a large part of the growth that we are seeing in the industry is also driven by the increase in competitive intensity.
So over the years, competition has increased, like Amul has been trying to enter new states. So are you seeing any competition?
The last one quarter, it's been increasing for last several years. So, you know, we are, whatever business results we are getting is in that reality.
Sure. And what about Amul, sir? How about their entry into our core geography?
So Amul has been present in many of our markets for a long time.
Okay. All right, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraints, we have reached the end of question and answer session. I would now like to hand the conference over to Dr. Rao for closing comments.
Thank you very much for your continued interest and sparing your valuable time, making certain suggestions, and look forward to hear you again in the next call. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. On behalf of Heritage Foods Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your line.